No Time to Die, the fifth and final movie to star Daniel Craig as British spy James Bond, arrives in theaters today. Critic and Bond fan Chris Klimek points out how the Craig-era Bond has been very different from the many, many that came before.
James Bond will return, a title card at the end of each of the 25 Eon Productions Bond films has promised. Daniel Craig will not. He is adamant that No Time to Die is his last mission as the international man of mystery, who has always been weirdly diligent about introducing himself.
Bond. James Bond.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
My name is...
James is for tombstones, baby. Take this honky out and waste him, now!
Craig is the sixth actor to wear Bond's tux in a film franchise that began in 1962, but he's the first to give the hard-drinking killer the complex inner life that creator Ian Fleming gave him on the page.
I don't stop to think about it.
What would happen if you did?
You might call him the bookend Bond, the first whose movies comprise a continuous narrative showing us the beginning, middle, and end of 007's career. That sort of legacy is something that Barbara Broccoli and Michael G. Wilson understand. They're the daughter and stepson of Albert Cubby Broccoli, who started the Bond series with his partner Harry Saltzman. Together, they've produced the last 9 Bond movies. It was their decision to replace prior Bond Pierce Brosnan with Daniel Craig. And with their new star came a new tone. Here's Barbara Broccoli.
The films have always sort of reflected the times, you know, after Pierce Brosnan. I mean, we had 9/11, and we felt we had gone too far, you know, into the realm of believability. So coming back and having the gift of Casino Royale to use to reboot the franchise and restart it was such a gift. I mean, it was a perfect opportunity.
Well, I understand 00s have a very short life expectancy.
That was Craig in 2006's Casino Royale, an updated but still faithful adaptation of the first Bond novel. It gave us a more brutal and more vulnerable Bond than we'd seen in movies before, and it restarted the story from scratch, making Bond a green 00 whose mistakes have consequences. Here's Michael Wilson.
James Bond is not a superhero. He's a human being. That's one of the things that Daniel wanted to emphasize when he took on the role. He always wanted a man who would bleed and be hurt and suffer physically as well as mentally. And that's why, you know, in Casino Royale, the torture scene is so effective.
It's the simplest thing to cause more pain than a man can possibly endure.
He's a real person. And that's what makes him heroic, in our opinion, more heroic than, say, a superhero is.
The next film, Quantum of Solace, picked up the story right where Casino Royale left off, making it the first real sequel in a franchise where one-and-done adventures had been the norm. Here again, Barbara Broccoli.
This character was going to be evolving at that we wanted to track the evolution, the emotional evolution of the character became very important to us.
Emotional evolution? Bond was rarely seen to mature before, or even to age. It didn't matter whether he was being played by svelte 29-year-old one-off Bond George Lazenby.
This never happened to the other fella.
Or a visibly creaky 57-year-old Roger Moore. He was ageless. The Craig era put an end to that, too.
The world's moved on, Commander Bond.
In the new movie, Bond is a retiree. Of course, it wouldn't be much of an adventure if another dire threat didn't call him back into service.
You get in my way, I will put a bullet in your knee. The one that works.
What separates a story from a legend? Stories end. James Bond, so long a legend, is a story now. He has a timeline. All he used to have was all the time in the world. I'm Chris Klimek.
We have all the time.